Roger Simon is chief political columnist for Politico.com. He filed a 7-part story this week with the overtitle Relentless. It is the story of how Barack Obama won the nomination and, as interestingly, why Hillary Clinton lost. Roger Simon, welcome to Day to Day.
Hey, thank you very much.
This is the story of one campaign that worked very well and one that didn't. Hillary Clinton lost this nomination as much as Barack Obama won it.
It's true. If it had been any normal political cycle, any normal presidential year, Hillary Clinton probably would have won. The trouble for her came that this was not an ordinary political year. And not just because she was running against a magnetic candidate who had a pretty compelling message, the message of change, but because he had put together a highly professional, highly experienced campaign staff that understood the complicated rules of delegate selection in the Democratic Party and what was required to put together what in the political world is called a ground game of just going out and getting delegates and getting votes. And amazingly, the Hillary Clinton campaign did none of that.
You report in an introduction to this piece that you talked to about 25 senior people from both campaigns after the nomination was settled a couple of months ago. So this is all post what happened, the views of the people who led the campaign. You quote David Axelrod, the leader of Senator Obama's effort, saying, "We had to run a perfect campaign." That's what he thought going into it. They didn't run a perfect campaign, but they were amazingly adroit.
That's right. They assumed, as I think much of the media assumed, that the Clinton campaign was going to be a true juggernaut. And when it collapsed, I went back and talked to the people directly involved, and they knew it was not a juggernaut. They were amazed that anyone ever thought it was a juggernaut. The word they used repeatedly, and I'm talking her top people, more than a dozen of them, the word they use repeatedly is that the campaign was dysfunctional, and not just because of the infighting and bickering because of the personalities involved, much of which has been covered in the press, but because that bickering disguised the fact that the Clinton campaign never really put together a plan for victory. They had some big names running their campaign, but when I just went through the simple process of checking out their biographies, I found that their campaign manager, Patty Solis Doyle, had never worked in a presidential campaign before. Their deputy campaign manager, Mike Henry, had never worked in a presidential campaign before. Even Howard Wolfson, who became a media superstar, he was her communications director. He had never worked in a presidential campaign before. But when you go through the list of Obama people, the top 4, 5, 6 people had not just worked in presidential campaigns before, but they worked in that critical area which gets very little attention but is absolutely essential, and that's called field operations. It means going into states, setting up shop, organizing, getting people door knocking, getting people calling, and getting delegate victories.
These people knew how to win campaigns on the local level. Importantly, very significant figures had a lot of experience in Iowa. He set his sights on winning Iowa very early.
What I found fascinating in doing this reporting is that both campaigns had the same plan A. The plan A was win the first 4 states, attain a political victory, and knock the other person out.
There'll be nobody left after you win the first 4. There's no opposition left. Bang, you're there.
That's right. And it's not a brilliant plan A. It's pretty obvious. The difference came in what happened next. Nobody got their plan A. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama split the first 4 states. But Barack Obama had a plan B that was not only on the drawing boards, but in effect staffed up. People in the Super Tuesday states, people in caucus states, people working, and Hillary Clinton never did. Also, he had saved his funds for a Plan B when she had spent an enormous amount of money, $29 million, I was told, which is a staggering amount of money for one state. $29 million she spent just in Iowa, a state that was always going to be very, very difficult for her for reasons of a late start in Iowa and for a number of other reasons, that they were simply out-organized there. It was unrealistic for them to do, as one of their chief people told me, to double down in Iowa and to put the whole campaign resting on Iowa. It was unrealistic, but they did it anyway, and really, they never climbed out of that hole.
I wonder, looking at the two candidates, aside from the two campaigns, you have, they're obviously both very smart individuals. Senator Clinton has been through major campaigns, her own, her husband's, other big campaigns that she's seen. Senator Obama is more or less a novice at this, certainly at this level. He assembles a team of very, very smart people who thoroughly get it. She doesn't. How does that happen? How do you explain that?
It's very interesting, and it was a storyline that the Obama campaign began talking about near the end, which was basically they kept telling reporters, you know, if she can't put together a campaign, how is she going to put together a government? There's three reasons that I think Hillary Clinton put together the campaign she did. One was the most important factor to her in hiring people was personal loyalty, people who would be absolutely loyal to her. That's why Patty Salas Doyle, who had never been worked in a presidential campaign, let alone ever having been a campaign manager, turns up as Hillary Clinton's campaign manager because she has worked for Hillary Clinton for years, had worked for Hillary Clinton in her Senate campaign, and that's what Hillary Clinton wanted. Two, she wanted people who didn't leak to the press. She had a mania about that, and she got people who would not, and it seems obvious, it would seem that all candidates don't want their staffs to leak, but really, that's not true. Her husband's campaign, his presidency, he had two presidential terms, his staff leaked all the time. They leaked strategically. They know that if you built bridges to the press by leaking what you wanted them to know when times were good, when times were bad, you had those relationships. And things got very bad for Bill Clinton, obviously, in his second term, and he had some relationships with the press. And that goes to the third point. Hillary Clinton did not want to hire people who had worked for Bill. Only later, with the exception of Mark Penn, there was nobody else in the upper echelons of her campaign until she had already begun losing states, and she realized she needed some experienced people, and she reached out to Bill's staff members. And part of that has to do with the whole complicated scandals of Bill Clinton's second term, the whole Monica Lewinsky scandal of Hillary not wanting to have FOBs, friends of Bill, around her. And it became as much a psychological decision as a political decision. Barack Obama, as has, I think, been pointed out, is in some ways, even though he was can be inspirational on the stump, he's very methodical and can be very conventional in terms of political thinking. And his old attitude of putting together a campaign was, let's find people who understand the process, because he was the first to admit he didn't understand the process. And at his first key meeting in David Axelrod's office in Chicago, and David Axelrod had known him for years, all his questions were, how much money is this going to take? How are we going to raise this money? Where are we going to get it? Describe a typical day to me. Describe a typical week to me. How much time do I have to spend on the phone? Who am I going to be calling? It was all very nuts and bolt stuff. It was not, what's my message going to be? He was confident that his message was going to be change. It was all, what are the mechanics of winning the presidency, of winning the nomination? What are the mechanics of getting a majority of the delegates? And it showed you the entire difference, I think, in the attitudes of the two campaigns.
You write that you spoke with three people, senior strategists for Senator Clinton, who fairly early on this year went to her and said, there's a problem with this campaign, things are not working. And in each instance, it got back to these senior people from her campaign manager. You've been complaining to the candidate that things aren't working. Don't say that again. Don't go to her with these kinds of complaints. That's I was very surprised when I read that.
Yeah, that's true. And it goes directly against what Hillary Clinton has said publicly, which is that she didn't know that her campaign people were not up to the task. The fact is, I quote on the record and by name both Patty Solis-Doyle, the campaign manager, and Howard Wolfson, the communications director, as saying all major decisions were signed off on by Hillary Clinton. And anyone who knows Hillary Clinton knows that she knew what was going on. And then I quote three people as saying, each one saying, look, I went to her directly, either in person or by email, and said, this campaign is screwed up and you have to do something. And instead, what they got told by Patty Solis-Doyle was to shut up and don't complain to the candidate again. Now, a candidate on the road is flying around in a steel bubble and can't make a lot of the day-to-day decisions. But if you're a candidate and you've been told that you have major problems, you've got to address them. And honestly, Hillary Clinton eventually did address some of them. She got rid of her campaign manager. She got rid of her deputy campaign manager. And eventually she got rid of her chief strategist, Mark Penn. But by then it was much too late.
At the end of your series, you report that Barack Obama started moving into the general campaign very carefully and very quietly months and months ago, long before the battle for the nomination is actually resolved and concluded. That's where he is now. Is he smart enough to win the national campaign? What's his plan now?
It's very interesting. Barack Obama's campaign was its public face of was one of inspiration. But right behind the public face, it was all about arithmetic. It was a campaign that was relentless in understanding the rules, in getting the delegates, in putting together a mathematical victory. I think his approach will be the same in the general election. Yes, he will have an inspirational message. Yes, he will be the agent of change. Yes, he will obviously attack the last 8 years of George Bush and say that John McCain will be the third term of George Bush. But behind that public message is a team of highly experienced people who have one goal in mind, get to 270 electoral votes. They've already got the map drawn up. They've already got different pathways to get to that 270, some of which are quite fascinating. But they began organizing in key battleground states even before the Pennsylvania primary had concluded. And Barack Obama lost the Pennsylvania primary, but they knew it would not matter. But they moved staff into states very quietly, renting headquarters, hiring staff, doing the initial setup for a general election campaign, because they wanted, more than anything else, to out-organize John McCain. And if you read deep down into political stories, or if you check some blogs from the states, individual state blogs and bloggers, which often have the best information, I'm already seeing some wild disparities in staffing in some states, that Barack Obama has already sent in 100 or 200 organizers in a state where John McCain has 20 or 30, or where he has already set up, 50 statewide offices, and you read John McCain has 5 at this point. Now, money is going to play a big part in this, and Barack Obama is going to have a lot of money, but it's also a matter of, this is a campaign which is very experienced in the allocation of resources and in just doing the field work, the day-to-day drudgery of getting to 270 electoral votes, and it's going to be a very interesting campaign to watch.
Roger Simon, chief political columnist for Politico.com, his thorough and fascinating series of pieces on what happened in the Democratic Party this year is at Politico.com/relentless. Roger, thank you.
Hey, thank you so much.